people. Well, it's exciting, new things. I noticed Charlotte used a word a couple of times and it was just a great link for me, but you used that word establish. And I want to unpack for us this session and just get us to think about that. I'm almost going to share my journey with this a little bit and hopefully provoke some thought so that you can go away, reflect some more on how this applies to you. And we're going to have a little bit of time in groups as well. But as you know, we've shifted not just into a new year, but we've shifted into a new decade. So we're talking about the 2020s decade. But I've been more recently aware as well of just the timings of God. And that times and seasons, obviously, we know are in his hands. But we use the ordinary standard calendar that we've got to know. But actually, God uses the Hebraic calendar. And the Hebraic calendar is profound in its setting of times and seasons. And the Jewish New Year was in September, October time. That's when the Jewish New Year kicks off. And interestingly, just as we've moved not just a year, but a decade, so too the Jewish New Year moved from the year 5779 to the year 5780. So again, moving from the 70s decade to the 80s decade. Now, the incredible thing about Hebrew and the incredible thing about the Jewish mindset and understanding is the actual numbers have significance and convey words, which are the characters of the letters that they describe, actually convey a story or a message. And so, a bit like the Chinese characters, every letter paints a picture which tells a story. And it's the same in the Hebrew. And amazingly, and I've just begun to get into this a little bit more, something profound about an Egyptian beginning to learn Hebrew and looking at the Jewish side of things. But I've just felt this provocation of heaven that actually there is a depth of understanding to come to the church at this time that is connected to us understanding our heritage and understanding the timings and the seasons of God. Yes. We are not just randomly in a season. We are in a God-appointed season. And in a God-appointed season, if we understand what's on God's heart, then we are given authority to work in collaboration with God to establish that which he is saying and decreeing from heaven. Are you with me? So it's profound if we understand what's kicked off or kick-started in the heavenly realms so that we can kick-start it on earth. So this Hebrew decade of 80, thank you, Claire. No, you're good. You're fantastic. This Hebrew decade of 80, the number 80 and the 80s is the letter in the Hebrew pei. Some people spell it P-E-H, expressing the h sound, pei, with the breath sound in it, or pei more accurately like that. It's the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And pictorially, it exemplifies and also means the word mouth. If we click on one slide, the shape of the letter suggests an open mouth. And in the Hebrew mindset and understanding, the mouth needs to be open because it has a message to proclaim. In the scriptures that you have where it says, open your mouth and I will fill it, it's literally this pei. Open your mouth. Or the scriptures that say, be opened, it's ephatha, and it's the double pays all the way through that strange word that we try and pronounce in our English. But it's basically this picture. If we go back again, thank you, Claire. And if you have a look at the letter, the depiction of the letter and the reason it symbolizes the mouth is that it looks like an open mouth, but it's also a picture of a mouth with a seed in it, a dot in it. I've just been learning some Hebrew. I've recently learned and done my homework that if that dot were not there, it would be a different letter, which is fei, P-H, our P-H. But it's actually the P. And the reason it is because of that dot. The dot symbolizes a seed. Now, if you think spiritually that God's word is a living seed entrusted to us. So he fills your mouth with his seed word, but it comes in seed form. And he's asking you to cooperate, collaborate with him, to begin to speak out and birth something. And the other way of describing this letter that some people use, it literally does mean mouth, but some people also see the picture of a womb carrying a seed that is going to be birthed. Does that make sense?
Amen.
The 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Interestingly, that is also no accident. If you know anything about Hebrew, if you've looked at Psalm 119, it literally takes each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet to start that psalm. Why? Because each of the letters actually conveys a message in itself, which is elaborated on in the verse that it begins. Can't go into all of that today, but it is profound. So none of this is an accident. And when we look at our Bibles, and for those who are into numerology, I just think of people like David, who is Rachel and Gordon's son, not brother David. Very confusing. But he is a numbers man. He sees patterns. He's a coder, sees websites and that kind of thing. His language is numbers.
Algorithms.
For a mathematician, the Bible is phenomenal. Now, I'm not a mathematician at all. I failed maths. I couldn't do maths to save my life. I'm language as in give me words person. But I just think it's phenomenal how profound the word of God is when we get into the algorithms, if you like, that is in there. 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Why 17? 17 in Hebrew means victory.
Come on.
Those of you who are already joining the dots.
Yeah.
So God is saying, open your mouth and I will fill it with a seed word which I want you to speak. And that speaking will result in victory.
Amen.
So he's not saying just speak words. He's saying begin to learn to decree on earth what I am decreeing in heaven.
Amen.
And he's saying that this is a decade of decree. This whole decade, the 80s decade, is decree. So what was the 70s decade, I hear many of you saying? Well, the 70s decade was the letter Ayin. I haven't got it on PowerPoint. And ayin, like in Arabic actually, ayin, means the eye. So we have been in a decade of seeing. We've been in a decade of revelation. We've been in a decade of understanding. We've been in a decade of perceiving. We've been in a decade of beginning to see the God patterns and footprints. And interestingly, again, Hebrew scholars, and I'm trying to condense this down for us today, but Hebrew scholars say there is no accident in the way in which the Hebrew letters follow each other and the meanings attached to them. And ayin precedes pay because you have to speak what you have first seen. Does that make sense? So here is God saying, I have given you a season, a decade, where you have been encouraged to perceive, to see, to understand, to get revelation, to see from my perspective. How many of us have heard sermons over the last 10 years of how do you see, what are you seeing? The see, you know, the eye. But now he's saying there is a shift happening. This is a season to shift. This is a season to begin to write your story. How do you write your story? You speak. You decree, you declare. You break that sound barrier, as Rachel said. And from in the private place of what you've seen of God, from the private place of understanding, from the things you've seen, maybe even the things that have confused you, you come to the place of prayer and you say, God, I know something needs to be established, something needs to shift. And if you remember this time last year, we sat in this room and we talked about 2019. We felt that it would be a year for reset and recalibrate, for a shifting, for things to come back into alignment. And much of that has kind of been the story of 2019, if you like. Look at our nation, look at Brexit, look at all of that. And the stalemate that existed for so long of trying to shift something. Strangely enough, as the calendar turned into 2020, in fact, things began to shift September, October time, if you actually track it. But then when we changed into the new decade, things suddenly began to happen. Even in Northern Ireland, Stormont started. You know, it's like, what has just happened that suddenly shifted?
Yeah.
And it's like, for those with eyes to see, hearts to understand, it's because there's been a shift. And we're here to encourage you today, things are shifting in the heavenly realm at this time.
Yes.
Psalm 80, and verse 17, 80 and verse 17, combines the meanings of all of these things and says this: revive us and we will call upon your name. Revive and we will speak. Revive and we will speak. The shift this year signifies that what we've seen will now come forth into being. But God doesn't just do it with a magic wand. How many of you have discovered that in your own lives? It doesn't just happen. There has to be an action of faith that connects with the heart of God, that says, I am going to be part of this story and I'm going to write it with you, God, on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And so God is encouraging us to declare and to decree. I don't know if you have prayed these prayers before, but often, particularly in charismatic and charismatic Pentecostal circles, we tend to say this phrase as we pray, I declare and I decree this will be. And we use that phrase, declare and decree. Well, my question to you, and I'm trying to provoke us a little bit, is there any difference between the two? Do we declare and decree? Is that the same? Because we use it interchangeably. And the reason we use it interchangeably is because we're a little bit lazy. And we say, I declare and I decree. But actually, if we're to understand the power of this season and the power of pay, I'll call this session the power of pay. If we're to understand the power of this season, we need to understand that God is saying this is a season to learn to decree. Not declare, but decree. Why the difference? The word declare comes from a Hebrew word which is basically means to make known. It's to announce, to set forth, to give an account of. And what happens is that we are given the privilege to declare what we already have possession of.
Yes.
It's a little bit like when you come into an airport, you know, we're flying to the US on Tuesday, and at customs they will say, have you got anything to declare? What are they asking you? They're asking you, what have you got that you want to announce you've got?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you already possess that you are saying, this is mine?
That's very good.
And in the spirit, it's exactly the same. Yeah. That we have the power to declare, this is mine. I declare I am a son of the living God. I declare that I am an inheritor. I declare that I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I declare, dot, dot, dot. The Bible says we declare his praises because he's worthy. And that's always the case. It is already, and we simply make an announcement. We simply declare.
Yeah.
1 Chronicles 16:24 says, declare his glory among the nations, his wonder among the peoples. 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may declare. Proclaim or declare, same thing, the praises of him who called you out of darkness.
Yeah.
That is to declare. 1 John 1:1-14, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life that is now manifested, we have seen and bear witness to, and we
declare
to you that eternal life which was with the Father and is manifested, that which we have seen and heard, we declare. That which we have, we've seen, we've heard, we declare. That is our eternal role. We are to do that. But God is saying this is a season for decree, which is different. How is it different? Decrees basically are a tool by which we cause the truths of heaven, of the heavenly realm, to be made manifest in our natural realm so that they now become our new reality.
Wow.
Does that make sense? Or should I say that again?
Yes. Yes.
A decree, in contrast to a declaration, a decree is a tool by which we cause the truths of the heavenly realm to be manifest into the natural realm so that they become or are established as our daily reality.
Yeah.
In other words, they are not yet here. We are not declaring them as here. We are calling them into being. We are receiving. We are, and to do that, you have to have been in a place where you see them.
Yeah.
That's why I believe the mystic tradition has increased so much in our day and age. That's why we had David last January talking about the mystical journey. Why? Because that's the place of being where God is and seeing into the heavenly realms, actually living in that place. We are citizens of two worlds.
Yes,
in fact, we're mainly citizens of heaven, but we're given the responsibility to stay here on earth right now. But actually, as we see more, and you'll hear more people saying, I had an encounter, I had a visitation, I was with God.
Yeah.
Why? Because God wants you to see, but then he wants you to come back down to earth with your feet on the ground in your everyday and begin to establish that which you have seen as the reality in heaven. Why? Because he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. I don't personally believe that the new heaven and the new earth is just right at the end. I believe God is in the process of creating the new heaven and the new earth. Why? Because we are now being transformed from one degree of glory to another. Of course, there will be an ultimate glory, but we have a foretaste of it here.
Amen.
And as God's people, we carry him. We carry that reality in us. So wherever we go, what we should be seeing is the establishing of his kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
That's why it says the kingdom of heaven has come near.
Yes.
How did Jesus do that? Because he literally brought heaven down to earth.
Yes. Yes.
Literally walked. He was the living word. He was the seed. He was pay wherever he walked. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And he spoke, and it was.
Whoa.
But he's giving us the challenge, the encouragement to learn to do that in our own lives. This is not for the super spiritual.
Yes,
this is for us.
Amen.
This is for all of us to learn to do. And God's timing, Hebrew timing, God's timing says now is the decade for this.
Hallelujah.
Rachel said quite a challenging phrase earlier, which was that the 2020s decade is going to be as... What was your phrase, Rachel? It's the mark out decade, as the 1960s was in the 20th century. Now, why would that be the case? I believe it's a prophetic potential, but if it happens, it will be because we begin to decree stuff that sets the course of the new decade. Otherwise, it's not going to swing. And God is saying, this is the decade to decree. Why? Because I want this decade to set a whole course for the whole century. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How does that happen? You see, we're saying, how do we take that? Yeah, I like that, Rachel. I like it. I want this to be great, but what do I do with that?
Yeah.
And God's saying, you do with it by taking the new tools, and the new tools are we're in a new decade, and the new decade is that you learn to decree. And the decreeing establishes what you've seen. I want to say that for your own life.
Yes.
Not just the big picture.
That's right.
I want to say that for your own life. What have been the things you've seen in the spirit? The potential, the dreams.
Yeah.
What are the things in your journal that have lain dormant?
Whoa.
What are the dry bones that you're now going to decree to come alive? What are the things that maybe you've lost hope over and are going to begin to breathe life into? You see, pay is also the breath.
Breath, yeah.
It is literally the breathing of the living word into a situation that creates. And because God's word is creative, the power of pay is it creates. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So two scriptures, Isaiah 42 verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Many of our Bibles say new things I speak. Some of them say decree, but actually the actual word in the Hebrew is I declare. Interesting. It's quite a challenge, this scripture. New things I declare is basically saying I'm announcing the new has come. But Job 22:28 says this: you will also, again in our English Bibles it gets confused, but in the Hebrew it says, you will also decree a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways.
Amen.
What's the difference? I believe part of the difference is that in Job, he was in a time of incredible challenge. His life was at risk. He was losing everything. He needed to shift some stuff in order to establish the new way in the wilderness.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you read the commentaries of these two scriptures, Job's situation was needing a decree. It was needing an establishing of something.
Yeah.
Isaiah was announcing the coming of something that already was a reality.
Yeah.
So what's the definition of decree, if you're still with me?
Yep.
Definition of decree is an order from one who has authority.
Yeah.
It's a decision given. It's a determination by one who has power to make things happen. It's a, sometimes used in just the normal English language as a sentence or a judgment passed. It's an edict or a law of something to be established. It's often a judicial term used to establish by authority, to ordain. It's connected when we say something is a dogma. It's basically something that will stand as a dogma is a kind of, looking over to Rachel, give me dictionary, give me help.
Give me numbers.
She's a number person. When we say something's dogmatic, it doesn't shift.
Yeah.
It is established. That's why we get it from the Greek side, is the dogma language. In German, the Diktat. Something that is decreed. It will not shift. It is. The English definition of a decree, if you look it up, is a statement of truth that carries the authority of a court order.
Yes.
In other words, spiritually, we're given the authority to come from the courtrooms of heaven and to decree on earth what has been decided, what has been judged, what has been seen to be worthy, what has been seen to be the reality, and to come down and to decree it on earth. So when we decree God's provision and blessings into our lives, we take authority over things which are not in alignment. We're not declaring I'm blessed, because it's a general spiritual reality. We are decreeing to shift something, turn it around, and establish God's way in the wilderness. It's exactly what Rachel was talking about. A decree is a tool given to you to change the wilderness into a place of blessing.
Amen.
You decree healing. Why? Because you're suffering with sickness.
Amen.
You don't declare healing, you decree it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The Hebrew sense of pay or to decree is also the sense to divide, to separate, and to destroy. So it's not just constructive, it's destructive.
Yes.
Why? Because the Bible understands that the wrong alignments need to be destroyed.
Yes.
That wrong things that have been built up need to be taken down.
Yes.
That's why God speaks to his prophets and he says, I'm giving you authority to tear down, to destroy, uproot, and then to build and plant. The build and plant bit is the establishing.
Yep, yep.
But to decree them into being encapsulates within it that certain things are going to come down.
That's true. Yeah.
That means this season could be a messy season. Because when you begin to decree stuff, other stuff falls. I believe that's why this last season, with all the Brexit stuff going on, that actually the prayer movement that has risen up, the prayer people who've been going in and out of Parliament very, very regularly, people who've been praying around and do talk to David and Suzanne and others, those declarations and decrees that have gone out, we've learnt to take those tools and use them, but what did we have last year as we were using them? Utter mess. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, we've got to get rid of some wrong foundations here.
Yes.
So it doesn't look nice when we start decreeing. And God's saying, this is a season to set the course for a generation, if you like, a century to come. But to do that, we're going to have to separate some stuff out in your own life. When you begin to decree, you find that some stuff has to die. Some stuff has to be peeled away. So when we decree, just to give you some general sort of understandings here, when we decree, we speak God's blessings upon our lives. We institute the will and the purposes of God.
Yeah.
We establish. We separate and destroy the plans of the enemy. And we also, with the authority given us by Christ, impose a judgment that the enemy can no longer touch this ground.
Amen. Yeah.
Can you see how powerful it is when we open our mouths and begin to decree? You see, I believe God has given us territory. I believe whether that's in your personal life, your business, your community, your school, wherever you are, God has given you authority, and the power lies in you to begin to speak what God is speaking into those situations. And then separate out the enemy's plan and say, this territory is no longer safe ground for the enemy. How are we going to reverse the curse of knife crime on our streets? How are we going to find that those communities that the police are even scared to go into become places where we can live safely again? We're going to have to go in and reverse the curse. How do we do that? We're going to need to take some decrees from the Lord and begin to shift some stuff. And people say, oh, prayer walking, is there anything in that? It's like, wow, it's powerful.
Yes, it is.
If you take control of the spiritual realm, make it an unsafe place for the enemy to move, then the police and social services and all the others can do their job.
Come on.
But if the atmosphere and the spiritual realm is still hostile, they can do whatever they want, but it's not going to be reversed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm going to ask you, where do you need that? Where do you need to reverse some enemy territory and stuff? Some assignments that you've seen? Are you aware of the witchcraft on the rise? Are you aware of some places where things have just got stuck? Are you aware when you say, wow, that space is an accident hotspot? When you hear those things, it's like, no, we're not going to have that. We literally have done this, and kind of like sections of the A34 or M25 or whatever, and just driven them again and again and again as we drive them to begin to pray and decree. This is going to shift. This is not going to have a murderous spirit. This is not going to have a violence attached to it. We're reversing a curse here. So if this is true, which we are now assuming it is it any wonder that Christians in this time, especially in the West, are feeling silenced? Because the battle is for our voice. And the Christian voice is under attack more and more. It's either mocked, ridiculed, or it's aggressively shut down. Or you feel so intimidated, I'm not sure if I can say that. And you see, even you don't necessarily always have to say stuff out loud, but even within, if that intimidation grips us, then we lose our confidence that we actually have the authority to do these things. And that is the atmosphere pervading. Why? Because God has decreed this is a year to shift some stuff. God has decreed this is a decade of the mouth. God has decreed I'm going to fill that mouth if you will but open it. The enemy knows that, and he comes to silence us. I want to just very quickly offer you some thoughts about areas that I've seen, trends that have been happening over the last 10 years, that I believe the enemy has tried to hijack this new decade. Trends like the rise in so-called safe spaces. I don't know if you've seen articles about this, but safe spaces was a thing that people began to promote in universities, promote in the workplace, where to combat so-called hate speech, so that you control what is allowed to be said. In university situations, we've had lecturers here in the university. In fact, as I was preparing this, there was something popped up on my news that one of our lecturers, female in the university here in Oxford, has been given 2 bodyguards for all of her lectures because she's now at risk, because some of her lecture material about feminism and women's rights and that kind of thing has been objected to as being transphobic, and she's now not allowed to share what she's done for the last 25 years because it's suddenly become hate speech.
Wow.
And on social media, she's had death threats. So-called safe spaces, what they've done is to create an atmosphere where actually you cannot say anything but the script that is given by those who feel they control the airwaves. Language like trigger warnings. So for example, when some training done by the police service, and just trying to find the exact, Hampshire Police, chiefs issued something called a trigger warning. Basically, a trigger warning is a warning about something which might trigger you negatively. And so in order to get round all the potential for sort of legal action to be taken against the police, etc., etc., if they put a disclaimer, a warning, this material might cause you to get upset, for example, then they have given you a trigger warning and it's up to you what you then do. So Hampshire police chiefs have issued trigger warnings in training exercise videos in case would-be recruits are upset about scenes of crime that they may see on these videos. And the trigger warning said, quotes, "If you feel that this language is not acceptable to you, please close down the training package video and speak with your supervisor about how to proceed with completing your training in another way." This is our society and culture today. At Glasgow University, even students studying fairy tales by the Brothers Grimm in their sort of lectures on literature were cautioned about violent material in the Brothers Grimm stories, while those studying classics were also offered warnings about Greek and Roman texts that might contain, quotes, "extreme expressions of misogyny, suicide, racist language and behaviour. If this will offend you, please discuss with your dissertation advisors and teachers how you can complete your degree in another manner."
Wow.
So that we can create a safe space. All that has been done with safe spaces is to shut down anything. Now the question is, who or what is dictating this?
Yeah.
And if ever there was a spiritual power behind some of this stuff, it's for this. Why? So that it silences. Can you see?
Yeah.
So there is a battle raging.
Yeah.
And we've tracked the trends. We've all laughed at, frustrated, raised eyebrows at what we see. I mean, it goes to extremes, doesn't it? It's like we get on an airplane, or you sit it somewhere and they give you snacks or whatever. You receive a packet of nuts, peanuts, and it says off the bottom, "Warning, this packet may contain nuts." And it's like, "Well, I hope it contains nuts, it's peanuts." I mean, seriously? And we've all laughed at those things. But actually, and we've seen the trends, but I'm asking you the question, why are these trends being seen, and why the massive acceleration in our society at this time, especially the last 10 years? I believe it's because the enemies wanted to hijack this next decade, which is the decade to speak. Make sense?
Yes.
Keep going. So trends, safe spaces, I believe another thing, one of the other trends obviously that we're all aware of is the redefinition of stuff. Redefining right and wrong, redefining good and evil, redefining what marriage is, redefining what relationship looks like, redefining what sexuality looks like. We've redefined what gender looks like. We redefine. And as we redefine, we move further and further and further away from the biblical alignment.
Yeah.
And we create a culture which says, if you disagree or offer a different perspective even, you are homophobic, transphobic, ageist, racist, whatever it might be. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying those things don't exist, and I hate all forms of hate. But when it goes to that extreme, there's something else going on.
Yes.
And it is to silence. There's a general, we often comment, apart from the immorality, there's a general amorality. That actually people simply do not have a moral compass for life. And if they don't have a moral compass for life, that's quite exciting in some settings, because actually when you bring the revelation of what biblical marriage is, or when you bring the revelation of what God the Father looks like, or when you bring the revelation of what fellowship truly looks like, or what hope looks like, and you teach into those things, it's a clean slate on which to write, and it's really exciting that we can put our sound into that and create. But the battle rages for us to be able to do that. I'm going to bring this into land. But I believe that God is awakening our perception at this time to his times and seasons. And he's saying, "I'm doing a new thing." And the new thing is to keep you in time and on track with heaven's clock, heaven's calendar.
Amen.
How many of you felt certain things have delayed so long and you think, "God, why the delay? I would have liked this about 2 years ago." And he's saying, "Well, it's now." And it's like, when it's the now, it's suddenly, but you've been waiting for ages. And his time isn't our time. I had a funny experience just praying about today, and just saying, God, you know, our 25th anniversary, we were supposed to do it earlier in the year, last year, and the timing is all out now, we're actually not into 25 anymore, and should we still mark it, and is it just sentimental? And God said to me, would you just shut up a minute and ask me? And then he said, what's the date? And I said, it's the 25th. And he said, exactly. And he said, and which month? He said, I said, no, 1st, January. And he said, exactly, one. Of which decade? The new decade, 2020. And he said, I am speaking this out prophetically over you. You've done 25. It is now one, the beginning of a new season. In the decade that I'm saying I have shifted, you are actually on time.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, God, we'll have cake. Sometimes you kind of think these things are not sentimental to us, but they're irrelevant to everyone else. And he said, no, there's a reason for this.
Come on.
It's not your timing, it's my timing.
Amen.
I know your times and seasons, says the Lord. And I speak that over you here. He knows your times and seasons. You might think it's late or early, but he says it's on time.
Yes, Lord.
You might think it will never happen, but he says it will happen.
Yeah.
And there will be a shift, even for Bergen, even for Norway. There is going to be a shift in Jesus' name. And you are not late, and you are not too early. You are in the timing of God, says the Lord. And even for your personal life, I don't know what's going on, I haven't caught up much. But God says to you, there is a shift going on. And that wrestle for the shift is profound. And at times has almost killed you, but he says, now in Jesus' name, we decree an establishing of the new. Bergen will be released in Jesus' name. Let it be. Groups? I just want to share one thing. We sort of slightly overran earlier, but we've got time. I just want to share one thing. God gave me two words for 2020, when I was praying for like words for the year. And the two words he gave me were flashpoint and ignite. And I felt like he was saying there are things to ignite. And as I was studying this whole thing of the pay, I felt God say it's the power of the pay, the power of what you decree in this season that will be the ignition point to release a flashpoint of change in the nations, in your communities, etc. And the three areas very quickly that I felt were particularly highlighted for me was spiritual flashpoints in the nations. I felt God say this is a season where it's going to be like 1 Kings 18 with Elijah and the prophets of Baal.
Face-offs,
thank you, Rachel, good word. Where it's going to be that, you know, you're going to see the trends, you're going to see the wickedness, you're going to see the evil, it's going to be really, really obvious. And actually some of the witchcraft movements is becoming very in your face, very obvious, very overt. But that's because they are threatened by the rising of the church in this season. That is going to have a face-off in the spiritual realm and begin to come to that place of a new confidence. What I decree will be established and will bring down the prophets of Baal.
Yes.
And I don't know where that is in your life. Maybe it's in the areas of finance. Maybe it's in the areas of healing. But there are face-offs. And that's why it's become even more extreme, even more outrageous, even more in your face, literally. Because there is a threat that the enemy feels, but cannot contain and control. The question is, will you let it ignite in you a new indignation, a godly indignation? This is my turf, I'm not backing off.
Amen.
Second area, very quickly, flashpoints of truth is the phrase God gave me. And I feel this has to do with literally our teaching of the truth in this time. Jesus is the spirit of truth. His word is truth. It is the only truth that sets us free.
Amen.
And I felt God say this, and this was the phrase he gave me, undiluted truth decreed by his people will ignite a new freedom and authority for deliverance. And I believe we're going to see massive increase of authority in the area of deliverance.
Yeah, come on.
Yes. And the reason we're going to see that, every chain is going to be broken. You're going to hear the chains snapping.
Come on.
Why? Because we're going to have increased authority.
Hallelujah.
We're going to understand the power of our decree. And where do we do it? In the wilderness. Why do we need deliverance? Because it's in the wilderness. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Finally, flashpoints. This was the phrase God gave me, and I love the picture. I'm still chewing on this one. Flashpoints of outpouring in the nations. And I felt God say there is great increase in wickedness, negative flashpoints, if you like, but also an increase of an outpouring of revelation. I felt him say the Middle East is stirring again. Watch the Middle East. I wrote this about October, November time, and I felt him say, watch the atmospheric shifts in Iran.
Yeah.
Turn the page, Iran's sort of kicking off. Quite interesting. The other nations I felt him highlight to me were North Korea, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa. It's kind of a random collection. And I felt him say, atmospheric shifts will create flashpoints to ignite new outpourings, and it will be multitudes in a moment coming to faith. Multitudes in a moment. So we decree that, Father. Rachel, I want you to join me because I feel you're carrying something here too. I know you are. She's preaching with me. She's like, yeah, come on. Come and help us for a moment. So the power of pay finally ignite to awaken, speak to create, and decree in order to establish. I don't know about you. I don't just want to create something that's here today and gone tomorrow. I don't want to create a spiritual fad. I want to decree something that will last. But in order to do any of those, we need to be awakened. Didn't know Rachel was picking up the awakening thing. Interesting. Ignite to awaken, speak to create, and decree to establish. Do you want to stand? This is just to give you a little bit of stuff to talk about over lunch, to discuss, to debate. Maybe ask those questions, where do I need to decree in my area, my patch, my life? What do I need to establish? Where have I seen the enemy's plan, and what can I tear down in this season? Things to discuss. But I want to take a moment. Yeah, come. I want to take a moment just to dedicate our mouths.
Come on.
And I want to invite you to say, I'm going to open my mouth, God, and let you fill it. I'm going to allow you to train my mouth to speak in this season. You've trained my eyes to begin to see right, but now I want to train my mouth to establish what I've seen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we offer you our mouths. We offer you our lips. We want him to say, we want open mouths ready to speak. Father, we pray that we would learn to take those seed words and begin by faith to mix them and establish something on earth as we is in heaven. Father, we are believing for the power of this decade of pay of the mouth and that seed that you're going to give us to establish. Father, we look at the fields of wilderness and desert in our lives, and we want to just speak to those right now and say, turn around. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Rachel, do you want to do this week? Because you've been carrying.
You know, sorry, also at the back you will notice on the left hand side there's a communion table.
Yes.
And maybe on your way to lunch you just want to even pick it up, pick some bread and make part of your lunch time just sit and dedicate your mouth.
Come on.
Words have such power. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we just thank you for that incredible voice in the wilderness. That it's our voice. Yeah. That you're going to put your words in our mouth. Yeah. I thank you, Father, that your words in our mouth have the same power as your words in your mouth. Because the power is in the word, not in the mouth. And God, I pray we will let that seed get in our mouth. And we will speak the word. In Jesus' name. As many of you know, Nicola, our daughter, lives in Australia, Melbourne with Tim, and they're going through a terrible time. We've just made this promise for our late day, but it's 21 days to stand and pray, oh God, send rain.
Yes.
So I wonder if we could just lift our hands and decree. Not announce that we are saying, God, we are touching heaven. We're opening heaven for something to happen, both in the natural and in the spiritual. God, we're asking for kind rain. We're asking for rain that's not destructive. but we're praying that you'll do a miracle. So just lift your voices and just begin to pray for Australia. Let's just touch heaven for a few moments and say, open up the heavens for God. We want to pray with you. We are speaking to Australia. A new day, a new way. We're asking you, God, open up a way in the wilderness. There's one thing that I had, and I'm going to be mean, but at lunchtime I want you to do something. I want you to write the headlines for the next decade. I want you to sit and imagine that you are a news reporter watching those flash points. Don't give me Christianese language. Give me a very confused son reporter watching God break out. What is he going to write in the headlines? What is the Times going to write? What's the Daily Telegraph? What are going to be the headlines? Come on, let's begin to dream. Think big or you'll limit me. Let's begin to write the next his story of our 2020 decade. Come on, brainstorm at those tables. Rewrite how business is going to look. What is going to be the entrepreneurial spirit that breaks out through the banks and the workspaces? What's education going to look like? What's our health service going to look like? Don't let our yesterday define tomorrow. Come on, we've got great educators here. We've got great writers here. Come on, let's write it. What is theatre going to look like? What are the films going to look like? I want you to do some work. There's loads of scrap paper, I think, on my book table. If you need paper to scribble and plan. But when we come back after lunch, I pray that God will have made us think and dream big. Find people, spark with people. But I believe God wants you to be the tongues of a ready writers. Come on, let's begin to decree. It will be. You know, as you look back and you see the confusion of what is this? This is our lover coming out of the wilderness. Write it. Father, right now we just receive your ability to think.
Yeah.
And we thank you that what we have seen, we will now decree.
Yeah.
What we've seen in those heavenly spaces, let your kingdom come on earth. And this isn't an age-old, worn-out, decrepit, eternal, ancient sort of falling apart, just as Johannes said. It's so new, so vibrant, so full of life. It's like this incredible, beautiful kingdom of God. So why don't you just turn maybe into groups of